case you guys haven't noticed, my brother and I have been gone for the past 2 weeks. We've been up at camp in Minnesota, and it's a FC Booster camp, and the whole week they have a theme, and that theme this year was service over self, being able to serve others and treating them as more important than yourself. My mom, being the very smart person that she is, knew this beforehand so that when we got back, she would be able to use that against us. That same night we got home, my mother asked Marshall to take the trash out. Marshall jokingly responds, "You can do it yourself." My mom, just ignoring his rude response, says, "Come on, weren't you guys at camp all week learning about service over self? Now get out here and you do it." But as sad as that is, ironically enough, the whole week at camp, campers would say the exact same thing. They would look at you and say, "Hey, can you do this for me? Service over self." And then if they were a girl, they might throw in a wink at you, you know, just, "Can you do this, PJ? Thanks." Cheesy stuff like that. But by doing that, you're really just defeating the whole purpose of serving others. You shouldn't feel as though you're being dragged into having to serve other people. Just being selfish is not the point of serving others. Being there just to help somebody out. Service is something that we view in the real world as a task. When your boss or as your parent tells you to do something, most of the time you do it. Most of the time. But as Christians, it's expected of us to be serving one another and God most of all. Some view serving as jobs for just the preachers or elders of a church to do, but it's something that every single one of us can and should be doing. Look over in Philippians chapter 2, where we have the scripture reading done. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Self-denial is something that plays a big role in this whole idea of service. You have to be able to take yourself out of the picture and look at others as more important than yourself. Verse 4 says it best, look out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others. See others as more important than yourself. That means instead of looking out for number one, we need to be looking out for the true number one, which is somebody besides ourselves. At times I think of those popular girls at school who walk down the hall, and when they need something to be done, they expect everybody to just stop what they're doing immediately and do it for them because they're so high and mighty, they're so popular. But that's not how it should be at all. We should be striving to serve others. At my devotional at camp, just a 5 to 10 minute short talk basically, I did it on self-denial to help everybody to see that it's pretty hard to serve others if you are stuck up. If you are able to deny yourself of what you want to do, it makes serving others a whole lot easier. Because as Brother Gary says, a humble man cannot be humiliated. I know I talk about it a lot, but at my job at Pizza, my job description is a server. And at times when I serve some people, it's pretty hard to serve them at times. You just get those people that come in and they want it, and they want it now. Not to pick on the older people, but a lot of older people can be much more impatient. Last night, an older man came in and the pizzas couldn't come out fast enough for him. And I said, "Sir, they're on a belt. Everybody's pizzas take the same amount of time." And he's like, "That's not fast enough for me." And, well, it's very hard to serve people like that when they're so impatient. They want things done now. But if you can just deny yourself and see the bigger picture, that's not about you. It's about serving others and just helping them out. And this can be difficult with anybody in life, not just people that we work with. We're going to come across people that sometimes we just want to punch in the face, let alone serve them. So many times we can have the mindset of, well, that person wouldn't help serve me. Why would I do anything for them? But it's so backwards of how we should be looking at it. Look at the next part, the next four verses in Philippians chapter 2. It can help us a little bit more of serving others. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5 this time. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus was the person who had this mentality and mindset of serving perfected. He was always able to put the interests of others before himself and served his whole life. Service over self, even to the point of death. So selfless and amazing that it's even hard to imagine that he was able to give up his life serving God, serving sinners and strangers like us so that we can have a chance to go into heaven someday. Jesus truly is the greatest example that we can look to when it comes to service. But there are still some other great examples of others in the Bible that we can look to who served God and others. Moses was the main person that we focused on for service over self the whole week at camp. And when I heard that the theme was service over self, the first person that didn't come to my mind was Moses. I was like, Moses for service over self? I mean, why him? We would think of him more as I thought, complaining or excuses. That's what I kind of thought when I think about Moses. But as we looked exclusively into his life for five straight days, just studying his whole life in the books of Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, it really opened my eyes to see how much Moses did of serving others and the Lord. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to his reward. What a great example of somebody in the Bible who was willing to serve. Moses would have rather suffered with God's people than live a life of luxury and riches in the palace with Pharaoh. I went over the life of Moses with CJ in class this morning, and that was one thing we talked about that I pointed out to him. I mean, would you be able to do that? Pass up a life of luxury and riches? You would get everything you wanted. But Moses chose to suffer with God's people. He would rather do that. And it points out in verse 26, because he was looking at his reward. He saw the bigger picture in life, that there's more than just having everything you need, that we need to be serving others instead. And as Christians, we need to be able to do the same thing. Moses was able to look to his reward, the promised land, the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And as Christians, we need to be looking to heaven. I mean, how great it's going to be when we get there someday. And we can never lose track of that. And suffering and serving God here on earth is going to be worth it in the end. Over in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Many of you are probably very familiar with this chapter. This whole chapter and chapters before is Stephen. He's stepping on the council member's toe, and right now, on their toes, and he's presenting his trial right now, his case. He's on trial, talking to them about how he feels. And he ends his speech in verses 51 and 53 with some harsh words. Let's read Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. So in these verses before this, he is laying down the law to these people right now. He's telling them that, you know, what you're doing is not right. And let's continue reading in verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I don't know about you guys, but I've been told some pretty nasty things in my life, but nothing that, as it says in verse 54, that they were cut to the heart. I mean, to be cut to the heart with words, I can only imagine how they felt. And then for doing this, it would cost Stephen his life. Being the first martyr, as somebody who was dying for what he believed in. Total selflessness, able to give up his life as Jesus did. And then to forgive those who were stoning you, I just can't imagine praying to God that if I were being stoned, I wouldn't be able to do that. Pray to God and ask for forgiveness of the people that were stoning me. I mean, that truly is serving others and God. Asking those people, telling God, you know, just do not charge them with these sins, even though they're killing him. I mean, that's something amazing that we can take from this story. Serving until the day that we die. In the end, though, and in my opinion, Jesus is the perfect example of somebody who served, and served his entire life. Look in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And in verse 25. But Jesus called to them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles' lord is it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." If those verses aren't underlined in your Bible, I would ask that you would do that, because that's one of the key verses, that Jesus came to serve others, not to be served by himself, but to serve others. Jesus, the living Son of God, he was perfect in all that he did. He never sinned. Yet he still served others above himself. Service over self, it's the name of the game. Being able to deny what we want to do and serving others and God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And in verse 1. "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." People should be able to see us as servants. If people see us that way and sometimes try and take advantage of that, take advantage of us for that because they know that we're going to do stuff, some people will try and take advantage of you for that. But if they do, props be to you. Because then that means that people are able to see that you're a servant. Know that you are always going to be willing to serve others. Not just a servant of man, but hopefully they'll be able to see also that you're a servant of God. Maybe there are some people, like I said earlier, that you just can't serve. Those people that just frustrate you to no end, and you just, I can't serve them. Well, maybe you don't have to serve them, but it's all in your attitude. If they can see that you are a servant, by the way that you serve others around you constantly, maybe they'll be able to see that you are a servant of God. Look in 1 Peter. First Peter, chapter 4. Starting in verse 3. 1 Peter, chapter 4, starting in verse 3. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to those, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. At times it's so easy to go with the flow. Just keep on walking by somebody that may be in need of your help. But by maybe going out of your way, somebody will be able to notice that you are a servant of God. How selfless and willing you are to serve and help others. You're different from others and you stand out in the crowd. There's a commercial that I think is really amazing that's out. It shows one person just walking down the street and a baby drops her doll. And a random person just picks it up and they hand it back to the mother. And you see somebody in a coffee shop that sees that. So then they go out and they do a good deed for somebody else. And it's just a chain of effects of people basically serving one another. And it's a really good commercial. Now, I don't even remember what it was for. I didn't really think it applied. But the point of the commercial was still very good, showing that, you know, one person can make a difference. By doing the right thing, other people are going to be able to be noticed. And that's all I have for you guys. I know that nobody's going to be complaining if it's a little bit short. But at this time, we have that maybe you, in your life, you haven't been serving God. You know that serving God is what's most important, but the cares of this world and all the things that you do in this life are maybe taking a hold of you too much. And you've lost sight of that, not looking forward to the reward like Moses did, not being able to see what's most important, which is heaven. And maybe you need to change that, and you'd like to come forward about that. Or maybe you are yet to start serving God. If you would like to be baptized and put on the name of Christ, why don't you come forward and stand as we sing the song together?